Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Speaking about finding out more about, we've just got some guy who's always interesting, always good to talk to. His name is Brandon Guppy. He's a state representative, and he's involved with all kinds of things. And periodically, we touch base with him when we can get our schedules together and find out what the heck he's up to. How you been, bud?
Doing good. Just wide open. And, you know, they say you only live once, so you got to go, 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 right?
And you're doing it, that's for sure. You remind me of my brother, Teddy, who lives out in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And my dad used to call him the free spirit. Yeah. He says, you know, when he passes on, he would have led three lives.
Yeah.
He's just doing all kinds of stuff. That's you, buddy.
I'm just trying not to become that guy that's the jack of all trades but a master of none because I'm too spread out. I'm trying to stay focused.
That's so for those who haven't met you or know anything about you, tell them a little bit about who you are.
Born and raised in Rock Hill. Love the community. And 2020, I was elected to York County Council, and then in 2022, got elected to represent District 48, which is Lake Wylie and Rock Hill, basically everything that's on Lake Wylie except for TKK, in South Carolina State House. So I'm just wrapping up my freshman term, so to say, and ready to go back and come November, as long as someone doesn't write in someone else on the ballot, because I don't have a challenge.
So, yeah, you escaped a challenge to your office, have
yes.
you not? Yeah. So that makes you breathe a lot easier.
It does.
Because a campaign takes a lot not only out of your pocketbook, but takes a lot out of your energy, does
yes.
it not?
It really does. It's been a little bit of a shock because every election I've been in has been a primary, then a runoff, and then a general. So I've had three elections. I say I've been, you know, one at the ballot box six times, but only been elected twice.
Well, you get a breather this time.
Yes.
Good for you. So what would you say you learned about how our state government operates in your first 2 years?
Wow. I would say the biggest thing is trying to understand that everyone's not nefarious. And to understand that it's a difference of opinion and having relationships. Now, my personality, I'm can be a bit of a bull in a china shop. I'm very blunt, can offend people pretty easily. So I had to learn how to work on trying to not be offensive in order to have discussions to find out exactly why things are holding up. So whenever something doesn't get heard, the first default thing people say is, oh yeah, they just don't want that to happen. Well, it's more learning about the process of, we've got an agenda set before us, what can we get worked through, the amount of time that's going to take on the floor, and the ultimate goal is to get as many bills passed as possible that will be a positive impact to the state, and making sure we're staying within that line. So if you come in the middle and say, oh, I've got this and I want to get this heard, it's not always going to rank up higher because there's an agenda already set.
Have you been surprised at all to see some of the legislation that's put in the hopper? You scratch your head and say, what the heck is somebody doing this for?
Yeah, there has been, but it's most of it that happens that way. It's not new legislation. It's something that's been worked on for 6-8 years that somebody's just now getting a hearing for. You know, it's just now coming through. But me as a freshman, I'm like, why are we listening to this? And you don't realize that representatives have been trying to get this passed for 6 or 8 years previously. So it was felt like, okay, it's time for us to hear it.
Of course, one of the big bills that got through was the fentanyl statute.
Yes.
Which I know a bunch of people worked on long before it got passed. It didn't make it the first round, but it made it the second time.
That was the first thing we passed as a freshman.
Yeah. But there's more to do on that bill, is there not?
Well, so in South Carolina, you can't have more than one law within the way it's written. So we couldn't have death by fentanyl tied in with fentanyl trafficking. So we had to separate the two bills out. We passed fentanyl trafficking. That was one of the first things that we did whenever we got there. And that went through I was surprised at the amount of people that were fighting against it to begin with, because I thought it was a no-brainer. And then the death by fentanyl come up this year, and it was S1, which should have been the first bill picked up by the Senate. But as anyone would know, there's always a battle between House and Senate. And if House bills aren't being heard, then Senate bills won't get heard on the House side. And unfortunately, that bill, I think, got held up as political hostage of trying to get our energy bill through.
Well, you know, one of the criticisms of, I think, just about every body of elected officials is we got too many lawyers on there. And too many times the lawyers are protecting their own self-interest on pieces of legislation.
Yeah.
You seen that?
I would say that I have seen that. Now, whenever I first got elected, I used to say attorneys are the problem with politics, and Joel Hamilton was quick to point out once I got on county council to say, hey, do you see why we need attorneys? And I do. Now, me being an entrepreneur, I believe the perfect mixture in politics should be, having business owners and having attorneys, because attorneys are very risk-averse. They've seen every bad scenario that can happen from not dotting your I's or crossing your T's, whereas business owners move very quickly and, they're very reactive in order to make change. Attorneys are very risk averse, and unfortunately in South Carolina, two-thirds of our legislators are attorneys. So that makes things move a little bit slower. I won't say that it's wrong. I think that they are truly looking out for what they have seen as to be a negative consequence. Now, I have seen where attorneys might say, hey, this would hurt my business. And I've got to make sure that we are not doing anything. But in their mind, they're there to defend the criminals. They want to make sure that they are able to do so.
Of course, that really reared its head this past session when they talked about how we have the judicial selection system.
Yes.
In the state of South Carolina. We have lawyers electing judges who they're going to try cases in front of.
Yep.
Not good.
I ran on that. That was one of the first things that I ran on, and that was brought to my attention by Senator Wes Clymer, who became a huge advocate and kind of led this charge, truthfully, for judicial reform. And I never understood it, but, these attorneys are appearing before judges that they elect, and then you're getting these rulings, whether it's insurance settlements, whether it's case hearing, and it's the perception of this tit for tat or the scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, that became the issue. So I fought to be on the Judicial Reform Committee. I will say that after going through that committee, I have a lot more faith in the way that we select judges than I do in other states. Because other states, you're electing, which allows money and influence to come through. Now, does that mean that's perfect? No. We need a change. We made a lot of those changes this time. It's still not exactly what we want, because I think one of the big problems that we have is on the Senate side with magistrates and holdovers, and we couldn't get any judicial reform if we tried to force that in there this time. So that still has not changed, but that is something that needs to be changed considering the majority of the cases are being heard by magistrates.
So the selection process needs to include more than just common pleas or...
Correct. So instead of just the JMSC... So the JMSC handles everything other than magistrates, but the magistrates themselves are appointed by the Senate and confirmed by the governor.
Okay.
So what happens is you've got someone's term up and you have a senator who might be an attorney that keeps that magistrate on holdover status. So if they come in and they get a bad ruling, then they can just go ahead and say, okay, now we're bringing in someone else. and that's where it gets corrupt. Now, the way that we do the JMSC and what people have problems with, we've improved, so these JMSC hearings are going to be public, and you're going to be able to see the reports, and we've stopped a lot of the counting. So all the qualified candidates that go through, you'll be able to watch those hearings and go through the process. And I think that will give the public a lot more faith within our system. And we're not eliminating the number of people that can come through as qualified.
Okay, let me switch gears with you, because I think anybody who knows your story, you had a tragic loss of your son here almost 2 years ago.
Yes, sir. Saturday will be 2 years.
And as a freshman legislator, you did something that's just not done too often down there. You got Gavin's Law.
Yes.
Approved and passed. As a matter of fact, I don't know what the official name of it is. But
it is Gavin's Law.
It's Gavin's Law, because they pulled you over to the Senate and said, we're making this Gavin's Law.
Yes.
I mean, that was quite something.
Very surprising, considering it's not something that we're supposed to do. And Senator Clymer proposed that we make the name change, but didn't have a lot of faith that it would get done. And whenever I thought they were going to object to the name, they stood up. And I think it was Senator Malloy requested the role of the House be, or role of the Senate to be added to it instead of objecting to it. And then once it passed, they all stood at ease and came and gave me hug. I still get emotional.
I bet you do.
Talking about it.
Well, that whole subject is very emotional. But what is interesting, for those who don't know, you've dealt with this tragedy in, I think, a very positive way. You've said, look, whatever my life has been, I'm changing it.
Yes.
I'm going to try to do what I can to keep this from happening to other families. And so you created this Less Than Three nonprofit.
Yes, sir.
And explain that.
So Less Than Three was the last symbol that my son sent out before he took his life. And we set it up. It's got multiple. I mean, I could do a whole session just on it. But our goal is to talk to teenagers about mental health and cyber crimes, and to inform the public. So within Gavin's Law, we mandated the teaching of Gavin's Law and what sextortion is within our public schools. I go around, and as I am working with the nonprofit, I am talking to law enforcement. I'm talking to parents. I'm talking to students. I'm helping students constantly, and now I've moved on to where I'm even building an app, working with a tech company to provide a resource for kids and teens as they are dealing with this, so they can click a button and get in contact with people to have something taken down, and get in contact with mental health professionals, get in contact with law enforcement, and then have even instructional videos. So if you need to go and talk to your parent as a child, and you know your dad's going to just flip his lid whenever you go and tell him, you've got a video of me on there talking to your dad for you as a father who has lost a child to this, and telling your dad, understand the importance of what your child is about to talk to you about and how important this is, and make sure that you're taking an open mind to it.
Wow. So where are you in this? I mean, is it half done? Or?
No, I just started. I flew out to Phoenix to meet with a company called CyberDive, which is a startup tech company that is fighting this as well. They offer like a DVR for your children's accounts.
Right.
So big tech is constantly doing things to enable the predators instead of protect your children. So this company, what it does is it bypasses that and allows the parent to see what's going on their child's phone at any given time, rewind or see it live. And the child knows this, and then that keeps them held a little bit more accountable. Mm-hmm. And so with meeting with them, they are interested in helping me with my mission. And whenever I flew out, I had spent about a few weeks bumbling in my head with ideas on what I could do to make this readily accessible. So whenever I go and talk to teens, I want to give a card that they can carry in their wallet, a bracelet that they can wear on their wrist, and then the QR code on the card that will link to the app so they can carry it with them. So if it happens, they've got access.
Whew. So maybe by the end of the year, you might have this thing?
I'm hoping.
I
think that would be optimistic. Now, I've never built an app of this scale, but to me, it's important just to get a beta out, something that can just be a, even if it's not the perfect solution right now, it can start being a solution.
So this company is going to work with you. They're going to be the electronic genius to create this thing. You're the ones who are going to put the material in there.
The founder of the company has a very similar story of mine with his child. And he did not lose his child, but it caused him, he said, you know, through faith, reached out to me and wants to do whatever he can. He's a lot more wealthy than I am. And he has the means to build these things. And so there's nothing that I have not, and he's very connected. I mean, I even had an NFL coach reach out to me yesterday that's friends with him just to say, hey, thank you. I'm looking forward to working with y'all. And
wow, great.
Just building that network and having people that have the resources to help.
And that's something. So he reached, this company reached out to you. They found or heard about you.
Yes, sir.
And called you and said, hey.
They reached out. One of his CEO reached out to me on LinkedIn and was a former Army Ranger and just reached out and was just saying, hey, I'm going to come into Columbia. I'd like to sit down and chat with you. And I don't take too many meetings because I never know who is.
For real?
You know, yeah, who's for real wanting to help or who's just trying to be opportunistic. And this guy didn't seem to be asking for anything. He just wanted to meet with me. And whenever he met with me, he said, hey, I actually want to fly our founder out and meet with you as well. And whenever they flew out, I gave him a tour of the state house and just chatted with them. Nothing big at all. And the next thing I know, the founder reached out and said, hey, you know, we're going to donate some money to your foundation. And we want to bring you on as a senior advisor, and you help us whenever we are talking to these schools to understand the importance, and we'll help you build this app that you're talking about.
Jeez. Wow. So, good for you. All of a sudden, you've made a big hurdle. You've jumped a...
Yes.
You know, for people, I guess we ought to take a second and just try to define for people who have never heard of this term, sextortion, what exactly it is. Because if you don't think your kids are, you know what this is, you're dreaming.
Yeah.
And I don't care what side of the tracks you live on.
And so sextortion is whenever someone pretends to be someone else online, and they're typically targeting our teens. They start talking romantically or flirting. They end up sending pictures that they have received from another child. So your child thinks that this is a legit person. And then they convince your child to send pictures back, to which then they use those pictures to blackmail your child, telling them that they will ruin their life and send it throughout social media and make it go viral if they don't start paying them. And as you said, it's become such a big issue. In May of 2023, Snapchat said 2/3 of all users have been targeted for sextortion. Just last night, Meta pulled down 63,000 sextortion accounts just from Nigeria. That's nowhere else in the world. Now, we've got a major problem with it coming out of prisons and everywhere else, but just in Nigeria, which is where a lot of these cases are coming from, it's a group called the Yahoo Boys. It started the print scheme and everything else. But all they do is scam people to make money, and they have no regard to the lives of the children. And in my opinion, big tech doesn't do anything to protect. They're allowing child pornography to exchange back and forth between their channels without taking it down or taking down the accounts. Like, if you and I knew that someone was sending child pornography and we could put a stop to it, we'd put a stop to it.
Sure.
But yet Zuckerberg and Meta will sit there and allow that pornography to change, and they won't change hands, and they won't do anything about it. But yet if you were to send some meme regarding Trump or something that they view as distrue, and you send it out, they're going to have that account taken down for 30 days. But yet they allow these predators to stay online.
I don't know how they live with themselves.
I don't either.
Especially when they have the technology that can identify exactly what's going on.
Oh, they 1,000% have the way to stop it immediately. Sony PlayStation is the only company that I'm aware of that if you were to send an image across, they will take the account down immediately.
Huh.
It doesn't matter if it's a child or an adult. If you are sending obscene material and their AI triggers it as being possible child, then you are taken down immediately until they can verify. And if it is verified that it is child pornography, then you are reported. And that's the way we should approach this.
Yeah. All right, we're going to have to take a mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Mille Lacs here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy. Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Okay, Mr. Guffey, State Representative Brandon Guffey. We do fresh subs and salads here at Substation 2. We do it 6 days a week between 10 a.m. and 9 p.m. How we do it is in those white letters, so let's tell America how it's done at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden, 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 garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
I love their fresh meats and the sweet wheat bread.
The bread, their quality meats, and their prices.
It's just always a great, consistent meal.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
We hope you'll choose The Nest to deliver your newest bundle of joy. The Nest is a new labor and delivery recovery postpartum unit at Piedmont Medical Center Fort Mill, working to make your pregnancy and childbirth experience as easy and enjoyable as possible. Our physicians and nursing staff at Piedmont are dedicated to giving expectant mothers the maternity care they want and need. Learn more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Now, parts of Western York County can enjoy Comporium's advanced internet technology every day. Thanks to the partnership between Comporium and York Electric Cooperative, parts of Western York County now have access to Comporium fiber technology that gives you the ability to stream, download, search, and conference quickly and reliably. Not only is Comporium fiber fast, it's also affordable, starting at just $49.99 per month with no connection fee. For details, go online to comporium.link/YEC to sign up for Comporium high-speed internet today.
Relax this summer with a promotional rate on select travel purchases with your Founders Federal Credit Union credit card. Now through August 31st, get 6.99% APR for 6 months on qualifying purchases, including airfare, hotels, restaurants, and cruise lines. Don't let interest rates slow you down this summer. Visit foundersfcu.com/travel to learn more. On March 1st, 2025, the promotional APR reverts to the effective APRs previously disclosed. Call 800-845-1614 for details about credit costs and terms. Membership qualification required.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
Such distinguished people frequent this place, enjoy that, and the food is delicious.
The salads are the best in town.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Our director, Dr. Bill Cramper, just got us back on the air. Thank you very much. He's here for lunch today, giving out autographs if anybody would like to have them. I can't imagine who would want them, but yeah. Thanks. So Brandon Guffey is with us, and he's had a tragedy that nobody in their life wants to have. He lost his son, Gavin, 2 years ago to a sextortion case. And Brandon, it's just totally changed your life. The businesses you had, you've sold them. You're now into this full-time. You got this app that's being developed, which really sounds exciting. This problem, this sextortion, is just everywhere in the world. It's international, right?
It is. There are, so with some of the, you know, National Geographic did a video on us there's a show called Traffic, and we were featured on season 4, episode 2 of it. And they followed back to, I think it was Cambodia, where they had entire villages of sex trafficked people that are having to do these sextortion schemes. The biggest place that we see it out of is the Ivory Coast of Africa. In Nigeria, Lagos, there's a group called the Yahoo Boys that started off, and they call them the Yahoo Boys because they always use the Yahoo email addresses to begin with. And they started off doing those Nigerian print schemes. What they have found is very easy to get, especially to a target teens in the U.S., and to pretend and catfish and get this money back. They can extort, you know, one person could extort 10 teenagers in one night and get $100 a piece from them. And now they're taking it to where they never stop once someone sends any money. And they know that these teams, that's their life is wrapped up into this online persona. And they're using that shame to target the kids. Mm. It's just become so large. Like I said, 63,000 taken down overnight by Meta.
One night.
That was, yeah, in one night. And that was only in Nigeria.
Wow. So as far as your own personal case, I mean, you haven't talked about pursuing it, but I gather you are pursuing it. Is that correct?
We are. We have been since day one. You know, our local sheriff's department, SLED, Homeland Security, Secret Service. The case is still going on. I am muzzled by the court system currently, so I can't really go into details. I will say I'm getting less and less confident that we're going to bring these people to justice. But I will say that we know who they are, and I'm hoping to see some changes soon. And if not, I'll be going very public about that.
Ooh, I tell you what. I hope you get them.
I do too.
I hope you get them. So, from here on, I mean, right now, you've got an affiliation with this company that's doing the app.
Yes, sir.
Consulting with them. You've sold your businesses. And are you spending the rest of your time just going out and talking and speaking and what?
God bless me with a big mouth. And it's, it's one of them things to where I've said I will talk until the day I die. Because you never know, and that's what gets me, is I could walk into a church that only has three or four teens sitting there. But whenever I talk, that one teen that just kind of breaks down and starts crying on your shoulder because and asking for help because it's going on with them. So you never know who you're going to reach whenever you're talking. So, you know, I've partnered up with Homeland Security, started a group called Know to Protect to help out with this. I partnered up with them. I participated in Crime Con with Chris Hansen from Catch a Predator. Spoke on there with Chris Hansen and with NCMEC, which is the National Center of Missing and Exploited Children, which was founded by John Walsh, a very similar story whenever he started America's Most Wanted. He lost his son.
Oh, wow.
And he started America's Most Wanted, which has now become the National Center of Missing and Exploited Children and has become one of the biggest assets across the globe in fighting child sexual abuse and trafficking. I've been out on Dr. Phil talking. I've been invited to the Today Show to come out and talk. National Geographic,
good.
CNN, People Magazine, all of those places talking.
That's
and
great.
Now I am traveling around and speaking. So West Virginia's got a school safety conference coming up. And I'll be a speaker there to where I am speaking to the schools, law enforcement, and telling them my story on sextortion and how we are moving forward and how they can help. I'm speaking. I got South Carolina Counseling Association. I can't even think right now.
Well, the bottom
legislator
line,
of the year. Sorry.
The bottom line is you're doing admirable work, and I think everybody out there who hears this story tips their hat to you for doing what you're doing. Good man.
Thank you.
We'll keep updating this periodically to keep people aware of all that's going on with this. Gavin's Law, sextortion, and the efforts of his dad, Brandon Guffey. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relaxer with Founders, and by Caporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. One more time, fresh subs and salads. We do them 6 days a week here at Substation 2. Let's tell all those people who are looking for a good lunch why they should be here. At the count of three, one, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.